It's pretty much the last chance for the Sumatran rhino. It's rare and it's getting rarer. In fact, new estimates for the critically endangered species confirm a recent population crash, putting the total population at less than 100 rhinos. The crisis has prompted the governments of Indonesia and Malaysia to cooperate for the first time on an emergency action plan to help boost rhino numbers and better protect existing and potential rhino habitats. Peter Hall is patron of the Asian Rhino Project, and he joins me in the breakfast studios this morning. Peter, welcome again to breakfast.
Thank you, Fran.
When we last spoke to you, it was thought that as many as 200 Sumatran rhinos were hanging on, and you were worried about that. What's happened? This seems to be a big crash in the population.
Yes, I think that's something that's been building over many years, but essentially the population estimates are very wobbly. There's very scant evidence really for the rhinos, and on reviewing the data about, you know, rhino footprints, et cetera, they've revised the estimates down. I think the critical thing that's been going on with the rhinos is that the population is very dispersed in small pockets. The female rhinos only can be impregnated on a small number of days, 1 or 2 days in their normal cycle. And because they're dispersed, they are not meeting males. And they're also developing pathologies as a result of not breeding. And therefore, that there's been a fall in population and there's been a lack of breeding.
And these sort of things are hard to predict, I suppose, when you're looking at what's going to happen to a population. You talk about the psychological effect on the rhino there. Is all this come back to their loss of habitats? The reason they're in small numbers like this, in small groups?
Yes, there's been a huge amount of habitat loss. There's been a huge amount of poaching. There's one area in Sumatra where we thought there were 500 rhinos 20 years ago. They've all gone. They've all been
all
poached.
Gone.
Yeah, all gone. We did a thorough survey of that area and we couldn't find a single rhino. And that's what's happened. We're finding, instead of 20 rhinos, we're finding 2 or 3 rhinos in each of these particular habitats. And there's some areas in that 100 rhino estimate, there are big areas where we say, well, there must be 30 or 40 there, but we don't actually have the facts on that. It may be that there's only 2 or 3. The number may be less than 100. It may be 50 or 30 or 40. It really is very serious.
And very serious, even more dire, I think, for the another of the Asian rhinos, the Javan rhino.
Well, funnily enough, the Javan rhino numbers are much smaller. They're 30 to 45, but they are in one area, which is a little peninsula of Java, and they're well protected. So we think that they're very, very endangered, of course, but they may be in a better state than the Sumatrans.
Peter, before we go forward to look at, you know, what the reason for this is, can you put it in perspective for us? How many rhinos used there to be?
Well, this population of rhinos, there would have been, you know, hundreds of thousands of rhinos stretching from China to India of these two species. And they're quite different species. One's got one horn, one's got two horns. One is a descendant of the Indian rhino, which is the biggest rhino species. And the other is actually a relative of the woolly rhinoceros, which sort of originated in China. So we're down to the last sort of descendant of woolly rhinoceroses now.
It's 25 past 8 on breakfast. Our guest this morning is Peter Hall, patron of the Asian Rhino Project. That sort of collapse in populations, you just talked about hundreds of thousands, and now we're talking about 100 or less, is got to be due largely to disappearance of habitat. What's to blame there? What's going on? I know there's potentially massive new losses on Aceh of important lowland habitat. What's the driver of that?
Essentially, the Department of Forestry runs the habitat of the rhino in Indonesia, and that department is really a glorified real estate agency. It is not concerned with protecting habitat. Bits, you know, 45,000 acres was carved off of one reserve recently. This Aceh proposal is to take off 1.2 million hectares. I went to a dinner at the Indonesian embassy in Singapore for this summit, and the head of the forestry ministry was wearing a shark skin jacket. These people are not environmentalists, they're not conservationists, they're really focused on money.
How important then does that make this emergency action plan agreement between Indonesia and Malaysia? It's the first time they've agreed to work together. Is that significant?
I think it's interesting, but I think it's a bit of a toothless tiger, because the Indonesian government and the Malaysian government give zero resources to rhino conservation in the field. They pay for people in offices, they pay for summits, et cetera, they do not pay for anything in the field. In fact, that is paid for by NGOs, such as the Asian Rhino Project, WWF, et cetera, the US Fisheries and Wildlife Service.
And what would we be talking about in the field? Are we talking about ranges to stop poachers? Are we talking about efforts to somehow get populations together?
Yes, we're talking about rhino protection units, and we're talking about breeding programs. And what I'd like to say, Fran, is we have the tools in hand to save this population. The Americans, Cincinnati Zoo, Dr. Terry Roth is a world leader in rhino conservation and breeding. They have bred three rhinos from one pair of breeding rhinos. So we could actually, if we could collect 20 or 30 of the rhinos that are left out in these stranded populations, put that under serious scientific management, a global propagation board, we could probably turn this population around. But we don't have the money, and we don't have the political buy-in and agreement of the Indonesian and Malaysian governments for that.
Yes. You're approaching the Australian government for $2 million a year, I think, ongoing funding for the project. That's a start, but I presume it costs a lot more than that.
It will cost tens of millions of dollars to do this, but the benefit will be that there will be other species within those habitats that will be protected. What I really think is that we have to have a strategic solution. Australia gives nothing to helping our neighbours to protect their biodiversity. Our budget is zero, and we really need to set up an agency within the Environment Ministry to help fund our neighbours in Papua New Guinea, in the Pacific, in Southeast Asia, to protect their biodiversity. We have the technical skills, we have the wealth, we should be doing, reaching our hands out to help our neighbours protect their natural heritage.
So to help our neighbours and encourage them, presumably, to help to fund action on the ground to protect these populations, and also reciprocal, do we take on, for instance, you mentioned the zoo that, or the breeding program in other places, do we undertake that at any of our zoos?
Well, we actually, Taronga has been very good. In Western Plains Zoo, they sent a vet over to help with the birth of a Sumatran rhino in the breeding centre that we have in Sumatra called Waycumbus. So Australia is actually involved with that in that way, but it's not a government effort. It's a sort of an NGO effort.
Mm-hmm. And what about, you mentioned poaching as a big problem. I thought that poaching was a major problem in Africa, but not so much with the Asian rhino. How big is this problem, and what's a rhino worth? I mean, what is the value to poachers?
Well, in very rough terms, we think that a rhino horn might be worth twice its weight in gold. So that's how valuable it is. So a rhino horn might be worth four or five kilos. So it might be worth tens and if not hundreds of thousands of dollars. Some Vietnamese poachers were arrested in Aceh. Vietnam is the main market now for rhino horn. So it is a problem that is growing. And the problem is it's quite hard to hunt rhinos because there's so few of them. Mm-hmm. But once a population is discovered, they will be wiped out pretty quickly.
So hard to hunt rhinos, but even harder to hunt the rhino hunter, perhaps. Peter Hall, good luck with this, and thanks so much for joining us
again. Thank you very much for the opportunity, Fran.
Peter Hall is the patron of the Asian Rhino Project. I've just heard the Asian rhino, the three different populations within that heading, all of them in trouble. You're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 8:30.